April 6, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with John Coltrane, but not for me. And then Project Daywalker, brand new piece. Yeah. Gabor and Barna over there in Hungary have been not sitting on their hands feeling sorry for themselves. They're making music, man. They're making big, epic pieces. And this newest one is called, or latest one, I should say, I'm Making Pigs Jealous. And the first part, we played off John Coltrane there, The Deepest Dive. Project Daywalker is what they call their project because, it came out of the experience. So you can go back in the archives, and there's two Watt from Pedro shows featuring both these cats. So here's Third Time Around. It's beautiful. Welcome aboard, Gabor. Welcome aboard, Barna.
Hey, thanks very much for having us again.
You deserve. You too, Barna. Don't be shy. Now, my Hungarian is pretty shitty, so Gabor's going to help out with Barna.
Yeah, we'll attempt for the translation.
So let's talk about how, like, Chapter 3 of the situation, COVID-19 situation that these pieces got born out of. So this is the third time around.
It is. Let me just try and sum it up how it went. So first, we just wanted to make one song with Barney, who was my drummer in my previous band. And it turned out to be a lot more than this. So two albums later, we were sitting in Barney's kitchen. And he shows me this piece, like he says, all right, I'm going back to my own thing. This is an instrumental project. Actually, that is the original Daywalker. It is Barney alone, and he's making some ambient sounds in it. And Project Daywalker became with me as a singer, but it will be extended by two other musicians soon, so we can possibly also bring this in front of an audience, maybe just perform the songs live. That's a dream, at least. But, yeah, so we're sitting in this kitchen, he shows me this piece, and accidentally I just wrote some lyrics that day. And I started singing them, and they fitted so well, so we went to the studio and started recording the third album. And this was the first song, Deepest Dive, that he showed me back then. It's a complicated song because it's really long, I find. It's like almost 9 minutes. So it's great for an instrumental piece if you're listening alone or on the internet. But it's not a great album start that we were hoping for, and Barney convinced me that we should keep it as a first song because it was the first song. But it's about my experience meeting a friend in the States, actually, who was struggling with his identity. He went through an identity crisis back then. He was questioning his faith. He was questioning his preferences, his desires. And we talked about this almost on a daily basis while having some beers in Mexico. So, yeah, that's how it came. And that's what I remembered when I wrote this.
You know the real name of Mexico, right?
Which is?
The United States of Mexico.
Oh,
Estados Unidos, right, de Mexico. And so when you said the states, well, they got, now they only have 50, I think they got 33 or 35. Fuck, I'm an idiot. But it ain't 50. That don't make them any worse. But if you had the beers of Mexico, where in the U.S. were you?
I went there when I was having my own identity crisis. Funny enough, and I started to work for a company selling artworks on cruise ships. And I just wanted to be alone and apart from my home and everywhere that I belong to and, you know, find myself in the distance. So on. And, so we were traveling all around the coast. First, you know, I started in Florida, Miami.
East Coast.
Then I went, yeah. And then when I went up to Boston, traveled through Bermuda and the northern parts, and then came back down to Miami, went to Key West, Mexico, and the Bahamas. Yeah, all these fun places. It was really nice.
Yeah, I got it. You know, I have very little experience in Caribbean and Bahamas and stuff. I would love to one day, one way. But I'm curious. So the character in the piece is kind of a parallel to your own trip in a way?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You know, Hungary, I know, has a cruise ship industry too, but it's like the Danube, right?
Oh, well, we have very little in terms of sailing or ship industries. But we had a sea port once in our long history of having certain places and losing them a few years later.
Oh, Slovene and Croatia. Yeah.
So lost of the country.
God, we had some farting out with the internet connection. No, but these cruise ship things, they're like big barges on the Danube. Maybe you don't call it the Danube. You call it Donau, or is that German?
Donau is German for Danube, yeah. But we call it Duna, so it has many names.
Okay. But it's like a fucking Mississippi, I mean, you know, it's like Rhine or a big river in Europe, right?
And I've heard, that's long.
Really. Yeah, and I've heard about these cruise ship tours, so I was kind of relating it to the cruise ship thing here kind of a little bit. Okay, so the deepest dive, when we say that, that means getting really serious. So you spending time here, you learn some of the slang then.
Well, I spent a lot of time with the English language, and because I'm normally a linguist, but in different areas. I'm a Germanist. I studied French, but English I learned just by, you know, listening to a lot of music when I was a kid.
Yeah, deep dive is like the latest kind of aphorism that way is. Down the rabbit hole, you know, like it's like getting serious about a subject. So it could mean a skin diver going down, but it's a metaphor, huh? And so the piece has a lot of metaphor.
Yeah, it's quite filled with them. Unlike many of the other pieces, which were simpler and also shorter
and more literal. Now, how'd you explain this with Barney? Because he brings the music and you fit the metaphor. And did you ask permission or?
We were sitting at the kitchen table having a couple of beers together. You know, there are no question when you reach a certain level that you are going to make music together, in my opinion. So he would just showed me this. He wanted to share it as his own piece. But I said, like, hey, Barney, you know, I got these lyrics. Shouldn't we just give it a try? And he was like, well, we made two albums. I thought it's the end of it. But apparently it's not. And the fourth is coming too. So.
Yeah. So he's a very liberal, very open with his music, but also open with the lyric, the libretto, and the spiel. I want to play the Moth Collector. There's a couple of collectors in this piece.
In the dark middle ages, all 1985, a man came as a visitor to her house. The door cracked, safety checks were not in style. His smiles marked brighter.
From Pedro Show, we just heard the second part of Making Pigs Jealous, Project Daywalker, The Moth Collector, and Tobacco, brand new album Tom's got out of Pittsburgh, Sorority, which people know, right? Sisters, Sorella. Guided by Voices, brand new Bob Pollard, Test Pilot, Wharton's Expanding Jazz Band. Wharton Tears is an incredible drummer, man. Also had a studio many years in Manhattan. I got to record there with Bob Quine. And Lee Ronaldo doing Freeze Out, Bobby Dylan song. Steve Shelley on the drum. I can't remember the organ guy. I'm so sorry. Anyway, he's got a new record where he's got recordings from friends like Glenn Branca and Thirst and shit. And this is called Manhattan. Bomba's printed after that, Sheet Smoother. They did about 5,000 songs in 40 years, maybe 5 gigs. And they're still going and they're still finding more stuff. Yeah, incredible cats. And Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with Bloody Esque. Finally, Project Daywalker with Part 3. And this is, I guess, the title song, Making Pigs Jealous?
It is, yeah.
Enlighten us, Gabor.
Well, the pig metaphor is basically what started the whole thing. I had a childhood memory of a pig slaughter. Not sure if you have these in the U.S. at all. Here we just gathered, like the whole family and friends gathered on a winter eve. And they stay together in the house. And very early in the morning, they wake up, like 4 a.m. And the pig already knows what's coming. Yeah, and they take the pig, they just stab it in the neck, and the blood is everywhere in the snow. Right. You know, it's a very strong picture, or a strong image. And me as a child, I had to witness this, and I'm not saying I'm scarred for life, but, you know, it was like everyone seemed to enjoy this a lot, whereas I felt they should be shocked instead. And, yeah, this memory started something that probably, I don't know, 35 years later came into fruition.
Did Barney go through an experience like that too? Does every Hungarian cat?
I will ask him. Barney, te voltál kiskorodban disznóvágáson? Láttál disznót vérezni?
Igen, persze. Mivel így nagyon nagy mi hagyománya volt ennek a disznóvágásnak. Nagyapám még minden évben vágtak, vagy kétszer tavasszal és télen is. Mi így gyerekként nagyon szerettük, mert reggel már ropogott a hús, meg sült a tepertő, meg ettük a sült vért, meg ilyen hasonló dolgok. Úgyhogy átérzem teljes mértékben a disznóvágásnak a feelingét.
So yeah, Barney's country boy, so they were slaughtering pigs left and right. No, it's actually, you know, no family could afford this. This is really like a big event, like normally once a year, but you have delicacies like blood with onions, and basically every part of the pig is getting on the table.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where barbecue comes from here. It's poor people food. And, you know, here in Pedro, when I got here, and, you know, we got a lot of different communities, right? And the Polynesian cats, especially Hawaii, Samoa, they don't murder the pig, but they already get them. And then they have a big roast. They bury them, huh? And with the palm leaves and stuff. And, like, the big dude of the party, he gets to eat the first thing, which is chowing the snout, huh? The end of the nose.
Well, yeah. They did. They also eat the snout, they eat the ears, everything, literally. We have also a thing called pig cheese, which means every leftover part of the pig is getting all together in this pot, and it's getting frozen because, yeah, remember, it's still winter. So they just put this out, and as it freezes, they just eat it with, like, a spoon or something. This is like beautifully savage. I can't enjoy it.
And we should also discuss a little bit about the part before it, the moth collector. Off-air people, Gabor was lying to me, the fact that, yeah, nobody collects moths. They collect butterflies. But then I hipped him to the fact that actually the silkworm, which ain't a worm, it's actually a stage of the moth over there in Asia, that it makes all the silk we get from the cocoons, huh? Gah. There's another name, yes, but it's a moth.
Such an amazing analogy that you
And, God, the most beautiful cloth on the planet, right, comes from, like, we don't want to collect that.
Yeah. It's really, like, it's coming from moth are really considered pretty ugly, right? So everyone goes for the butterfly and collects them. Nobody cares for the little moth. Although the moth is a very interesting species, since it comes out at night.
Right.
And it's really attracted to the flame, and that's how it finds its fate normally.
You know, it'll eat your wool of your coats, you know?
Yeah.
So we got these things, right, to try to stop them, some kind of like smell where they don't like. And we got a terrible joke about this. Have you ever smelled mothballs?
yes, but not those ones. I'm not sure why this joke.
Yeah, well, usually when I get an affirmative answer, well, how did you keep from breaking its little legs? Fucking terrible joke. Explain it to Barney. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 6, 2021 edition, Watt Pedro Show, special guest Gabor Barney from Project Daywalker. Hold tight for hour two. April 6, 2021, it's the second hour, a lot from Pedro Show.
Grinding gears, what they say, I didn't listen up to this day. Sharp reproofs, why they on? You had the chance to sleep till dawn. Grinding gears, can you stop? Filling my ears with tangled talk. Cover my eyes, but I wanna see what to become when there's no me. Grinding gears, work so clean. Who let this happen? What have you seen? Guiding light, shining bright. You may lure me, I don't mind. Grinding gears, not too deep. Not playing anymore, I'm not here. Back to the infinite, into the road. Where hearts are lit, blood will boil.
Even if this is only Heptagon dancer, violence is the answer. Moon age daydreamer, wretched unbeliever, that bawdy British humor. The bathos will consume ya, going down that charivari with some continental honey. Running around neither here nor there, the night time gives me shivers. The air folded softly around me, the ferryman dips his oar in the river. Alarums without, silent lights slowly pulsing, the term of my natural life. Dignities evolving, and I said, Heptagon dancer, does that pristine feeling fill ya? You can eat whatever you like, but it'll probably still kill ya.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with the fourth part of Making Pigs Jealous. Project Daywalker, Grinding Gears. And it's not about being terrible at shifting your tranny people. Although that's got double meanings nowadays too, huh? duplicit language. Ben Soller after that from Tasmania with Live in Japan, a piece called Captagon Dancer. The Mother Collector from Project Daywalker. This is part five. Not Moth, but Mother. And I think I cut Gabor off, but he was mentioning moths are attracted to light. Same way that people, maybe something with the spiritual dimension, right, are attracted. I'll let you explain just a second. Namahaga, which is Brother Shige's side project, Bathyscaphe, which can go way down, right? I think Mariana's Trench, 29,000 feet, a little bit. And finally, the sixth part of Making Pigs Jealous, Death Camp Wedding, Project Daywalker. So we got three parts there. Gabor, bring.
Yeah, so starting with Grinding Gears, I think it happened in February when I lost a lot of sleep. I literally couldn't sleep. You know, this whole year or even more than that, I'm not sure how it is in the United States, but most of us spent almost a year at home. And people are working from home here. You're barely leaving your own bedroom. And it changes things. So you sleep whenever you feel like it, and you work whenever you want, because nobody watches you anymore, like in an office or something. So I was really experiencing like my life rhythm, or biorhythm changed a lot. And I was awake at night, and I fell asleep at 2 p.m. So it was really weird. And I lost a lot of sleep, and one of these nights, I woke up around like 3 a.m. And I started writing this song, listening to Barney's musical piece he sent over, because that's how he rolls. He just sends me a couple of songs. Like whenever he writes one, he's silent for like a week. And then he just jumps at me like, here's a new song, listen to it. And then I start listening, and sooner or later I write some lyrics. So yeah, Grinding Gears is an important song to me, because I think you basically build your life around your fears and your addictions. And one of my biggest fears is the fear of loss. But when you feel like you have something, but you're really afraid to let it go, and you'll probably have to. Yeah, and Grinding Gears is a complex song. I don't really want to dive any deeper than that, but this is my ultimate fear.
You know, when Barney gives you the music and then you put words on it, you give them you give him the words to like integrate with the music, right? So does he use this for the next chapter of music that he writes?
Yeah, I think we influence each other constantly. Like he told me many times that I speak the words to his musical notes, and it's like an unholy alliance. I don't know.
Can he? Because he doesn't know English very well, so do you give him a Hungarian translation?
Yes.
Okay.
When we record a song, and more often than not, we actually write the song on the spot together in the rehearsal.
Okay.
And then I just ask his opinion about the lyrics, or I translate them so he understands what's going on.
Because the way you fit the words to the music is great, man. Your singing is great, and his music's great. And the way it comes together, it's so interesting. So The Mother Collector, does this relate to the Moth Collector?
Yeah, it does. It's the second piece after the Moth Collector was already done. And I was thinking, like, what more can come to this? And, you know, it's like good, better, best, moth, mother, and whatever comes after this. No, it's like you know, every animal is an analogy to a certain state of mind here, and mostly to humans. Like, I heard this quite often, that people say that the closest in the animal kingdom to humans, apart from the apes, of course, are the pigs.
Yeah, they're very smart.
Yeah, and this is interesting because we slaughter them, although I'm not sure if they're aware of this, because they spend their little lives in these stables, mm-hmm. and whenever they're fat enough, they, you know, somebody comes with this knife and just puts them in the neck. So,
and you know they get fatter than they'd ever get in nature.
Yeah, because we do our best to achieve that.
Absolutely. So, speaking of humanity, something pretty inhumane with Death Camp.
Oh, yeah, that was a questionable title, to say the least, because it doesn't refer to the Holocaust or in any way. I wasn't really thinking of that whatsoever, because when I showed this to a friend who lives in England, she just told me, like, Jesus Christ, you cannot keep this title. And I said, why? She goes, like, oh, because of the Holocaust. And I was like, but it's not about the Holocaust. And there are death camps in many other, you know, facilities, ways, regions, countries. It's not just, but of course, the Holocaust is a terrible thing, but, you know, there are death camps in Asia and in South America and in Hungary and whatever. So this is not about a death camp like in Germany or something, but this
ever,
is just...
You ever hear of Andersonville?
Pardon me?
Andersonville.
Never.
That was during our civil, you know, civil war, funny word, because it's after civil. But it was 150 years, and it was a prison of war camp that got turned, they call it that. But some people say, oh, that's just because they lost, and you were running death camps too. And so I understand, yeah, about this moral ambiguity. Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we should be able to discuss any topic. You know, we should be able to talk about certain problems. If somebody feels like this title is offensive, let's just talk about it. But it's not. This is based on Barney's mad guitar riffs. And the whole lyrics are just business formal, which is because I worked in offices most of my life and I hated it. And the whole, not really.
I believe you.
You have to write an email to somebody you don't even know using expressions. It's a very boring job, but you can have...
It's a lot of front. It's a lot of front. And then cubicle politics, which are the most disgusting.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry?
You can get trained to do so. And this I translated into a relationship. So the song is about being in a questionable emotional place under not the most ideal circumstances.
That makes good sense. Okay, surgery sleep, next part.
to count them all in front of you, 'cause you won't trust anyone who counts the marks you handed me. The years like folded flags on the field,
in our streets. We sold
I'm ashamed, that's fate. For you and for us, in God's feelings we trust. Brothers, but you are able, and what Cain can do, you won't be able to. Please stop singing, it hurts our fears. Why is showing weakness? Soon as the tear gas clears, a little to the right, just for this picture, you know.
Wife for Pedro show. Started that chunk off with Surgery Sleep. Well, that's the seventh part, Making Pigs Jealous. Peace, Aruba, Avua, Nanonde 3. About Time, the eighth part, Project Daywalker. And finally, Project Daywalker with the ninth part, Pigs and Jealous. Making Pigs Jealous. Command Prompt is a lie. Command Prompt, like CLI stuff before GUI.
Well, to me, it was. Should I talk about Grantham?
I just thought of that now. CLI versus GUI. I mean, people don't even realize that, but that was a big deal in the 80s.
Yeah, this is also about the 80s.
Oh, okay. But let's start with the first one, Surgery Sleep.
Yeah, well, the titles were really coming quite hard for the whole album. And apart from a couple of the songs, like The Deepest Dive was quite easy. But then I named most of the songs later on as we, you know, as the whole concept came together. But Surgery Sleep, it's an experiment with some words and some vocal tracks. I wrote the main part of these lyrics while waiting for a bus that seemed like it will never come at the time. It was hard because I had all the time to think about my sister who was in hospital having a sort of a life-saving operation, surgery.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was dark times. Yeah. And she got better, but I didn't know what's going on. And you know, when somebody close to you has these sort of issues, you think about your own life as well, and especially, you know, the fear of loss, as I mentioned before, is a strong thing.
You know, what always comes to my mind without even, you know, initiating the thought? Intercession of prayer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it comes from being a boy, you know, at Mass or something. And it just gets in. And, like, I'm just hoping, even though you realize, you know, I remember Georgie wrote a line in a Minutemen song. He says, "Hope for hope is only a prayer."
Uh-huh.
I've never gotten that. That's like from the punchline or something. I've never gotten that. George Hurley wrote a lot of the good Minutemen where it's so D. Boone. I wrote the filler. I provided the filler.
That was clearly a fantastic band. It's really hard to, I mean, hard to think how high you were marching if Devin was still alive. Like that was a great band for sure.
Well, I can relate to that situation there with your sister. And about time when we use it over here, it's like I've been waiting, like for the bus, right?
Yeah, that's a little wordplay in that. So it's really like about time. Like yeah, it was about time you came, or. But also the song is about time.
And, yeah.
As I built up the lyrics, it is going through the problems of a relationship, starting with days and weeks and months and years. And the whole thing is getting emptier and emptier as you get along. It was probably the second song that we made for the album. And at that point, the album looked real slow. As you can tell, because yeah. The Deepest Dive is also a super slow song. I was kind of afraid, like, we are making like a Candlelight album here.
But you know, to have fun with words like that, you have to have a command of the language. Like in my first opera, I had one called Pedro Bound. So to be bound, like you're headed towards, but it's also like you're chained around.
Yes.
This is what's righteous about poetry or lyrics, because you don't, it's different than prose, you know, you don't have to be so literal.
Yeah, that's why I'm interested in learning languages. You know, I'm getting a bit lazier lately, but since I have like more or less okay command of four so far, I was always looking for the fifth one. And I planned it was like Japanese would be a great choice or Russian, because they are really a challenge. But yeah, now it's Romania, so I'm
yeah, yeah. And that's one of that kind is the hidden romance language. They always say Italy, Italian, French, Spanish, but actually Romanian is a romance, because right from the Latin days.
Well, it is certainly for me.
Yeah. Okay, and what about this last one here? Well, it's not the last one, but it's the next in line. Command prompt is a lie.
Actually, it's getting quite well together since it has a strong Romanian connection. you know, in 89, when that was the year when the Iron Curtain fell.
Yeah.
And it was a time of most European revolutions, and all the countries were stepping up against the communist regime, and one by one, you know, they got free.
Yeah.
And some nations did it quite smoothly, others not so much. And I was a kid sitting at my grandmother's place waiting for my lunch. And we had only one TV station. We had everything controlled still by state, but one of each things. And there was a broadcasting of Bucharest where there was like a trial of the Ceausescu's.
Oh, yeah.
Because they, you know, there was quite a bloody revolution.
He was the only communist boss to get killed, him and his wife.
Yes, yes, yes. They captured them, and they were not thinking long. They executed them, I think, the same day. So there was a trial. We watched the trial, and then we watched the execution broadcasted live in daytime television. So as I watched it as a kid, it kind of had the same effect on my young mind as the pig slaughters, because everyone around me was, again, really happy. Well, it gave me nothing but nightmares, so...
Ah.
That was a thing, yeah. And also since I went to Romania lately a lot for Alina, we watched, I think on our first date, we watched the Ceausescu execution, which is quite sick now that I talk about it. But you know, that happened.
I remember seeing, maybe this is right before he got arrested, right? He's trying to get away in a helicopter, and he's on the balcony, and him and his wife are... Hey, my children! He's calling these people my children, you know. What's wrong?
Oh, yes, yes, that happened. Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, April 6, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. April 6, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
You rally low, I'm afraid too soon. China and thin ice skin them. All bait suit made out of white women with the red lipstick dancing and John Lennon with the red sweater jeans made out of blue denim. Nigga, catch me in the spot where the sun don't shine. Bitch, don't mind me, shake your hiney. The only motherfucking wolf here to spit venom. You're a bad bitch with a real good kitten, and I got the appetite of them fat black women. Wolf gang and this bitch with a bunch of rats with him, looking like the Holocaust with some ring mats with him. I am trying to get Miss Piggy by the motherfucking hairs of her chinny chin chin. What's that? The cock of a black dude, Max. The starter got the swag of a vacuum. Fuck it, I take her to the back room dungeon, fighting and punching. And now this slut is under the fucking assumption that I will be fucking and munching her muffin. Cum will be bleeding, but that's not from the time signature of the month. It's because I'm Dracula, bitch. Don't got problems smacking a bitch, kidnapping, attacking with axes and shit till I grab him, throat, start smacking him shit. I'm Dracula, bitch. Don't got a problem smacking a bitch, kidnapping, attacking with axes and shit till she decides to take Dracula's dick. Goddamn, I love bitches, especially when they only suck dick and wash dishes. Cook and clean and grant my wishes, then make me and the Wolfgang sandwiches. Transylvania crib, let's take a tour, bitch. Try getting through that black trap door. Keep yelling and working in vocal cords, and that'll be more of a reason that you get slapped up before.
That door chunk's comfy.
Fuck you.
Fuck me, no fuck but me.
That little bitch keeps trying to hug me, jumping over dicks. What the fuck she want from me? She keeps sending me garlic. How many times I gotta tell her I'm allergic?
I like your cake.
Well, this baby ate cake, bitch. I got it for a bargain at the neighborhood Target. Things is sharp and I hope you know that all I really want from you is that throat. I can't eat pussy cause I might leave cuts in his blood on my sheets, but that might be a plus. On the channel, a fucking animal, weekend like pairs of candles and bitches, it hard to handle. I don't want a bride, I just want bone marrow. I'm Dracula, bitch, don't got problems smacking a bitch, kidnapping, attacking with axes and shit till I grab him, throat, start smacking him shit. I'm Dracula, bitch, don't got a problem smacking a bitch, kidnapping, attacking with axes and shit till she decides to take Dracula's dick. Bite her and her fucking neck. Bite her and her fucking neck. Bottom of the fucking lake. Bottom of the fucking lake. Call my gang of wolves a fat. Call my gang of wolves a fat. It's a full moon at night. And these hoes ain't acting right. Cause I'm Dracula, bitch. Fuck.
Swap for Pedro show. Start off the third hour. Okay, we're coming up on part 12. Once again, Project Daywalker, part 12 of Making Pigs Jealous. Then Crane with No Man's Lands, a remix. Yeah, it's come to him sending me his songs now remixed. Okay, Crane, up in Idaho. My Doll's out of Houston with It's Too Hot for Revolution. A Revolver flavor with Transylvania. Hey, there's a region not far from you.
Oh, yeah.
And Romanian connection, too. Yeah. Steve Abercrombie after that, Swamp Acid. And finally, Talk About Lou, Project Daywalker. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming Lou Reed?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Brother Lou.
About Lou Reed.
Yeah, big hero for me.
Same here.
Yeah, yeah. Great. I mean, he wrote some shitty songs, too, but he wrote some fucking great ones.
Yeah, well, he didn't mind. I mean, I really like the attitude. Like, he wrote some albums that were very hard to listen to. Right?
My old man. Oh, boy. Or that one about the joystick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then some beautiful, you know, incredible mind blows, you know.
Yeah, but again, then it had New Sensation and the same album, so you forgive him.
Oh, okay. That's it. New Sensation. That was it. Yeah. But even later on, you know, sometimes they're still good ones, like Kicks or the Blue Mask. I mean, they're not all Velvet Underground. Yeah. He went the whole distance, you know. He just kept doing it. And that's what's beautiful about it for me. But what about let's go a little further back. Once Again.
Once Again is a funny song. It's got almost discarded. It's written on a train ride back from Romania, which was, you know, thanks to COVID, it was instead of 1 hour by plane, it was 12 hours by train. So I spent almost like 3 hours in the abandoned art station, like 2 in the morning. And I was struggling not to fall asleep. It was a hard ride. And we changed the pace of this song a couple of times because Barney wrote the song in a quite quick and fast pace. And I wrote the lyrics like that. But then he was like, let's just slow this down. So we slowed it down completely. And then the third version, which is like what you hear right now, is like somewhere in the middle.
Okay, let me get this straight. So Barney would give you music, but then sometimes after hearing your response with the lyrics, he would revise.
Yeah, well, one can only wonder why. I can ask him.
Well, yeah, ask him.
Barney, it's like akkor.
Igen.
Figyelj már az a kérdés, hogy amikor megérsz egy számot, mint a Once Again. És annak van egy ritmusa, aztán azt utána visszalassított teljesen, és utána lesz egy harmadik verzió, ami felkerült a lemezre, az hogyan történik a fejedben? Visszatérsz a dalhoz, újra gondolod, vagy mi történik ott?
Hát ennél a lemeznél igazából úgy volt, hogy elég ismeretlen terep volt az egész, mert ugye ez nem ilyen hangszercentrikus zene, hanem inkább a billentyűkre, meg az effektre ment rá az egész, és akkor elég idegen volt a dobot megcsinálni rajta. Ez is sok számnál több verzió jött, és általában gyorsabb verziók voltak, de aztán valahogy, nem tudom, jobban tetszett a lassú, meg egy pár számnál, aztán a végén csak élő dobbal lett feldobolva, mert valamiért a szempler nem adta azt a feelinget, azt az érzést, amit vártam volna. De igazából nagyjából a számok 70%-ánál az első dob maradt, ez a maradék 30 az, aminél vaciláltam, hogy az nem jó, és akkor ott volt 2-3 dob verzió. Nagyjából ennyi.
So this whole album to Barney was more or less a discovery, because he's a drummer and a very good guitar player, but he never tried to play keyboards before. And he went quite hardcore on keyboards and synth and loops and also electric drum machines. So he programmed a lot of the drumming on this album first. And eventually later on he came back to revisit the song and he decided to put some live drums on them.
I noticed this one. Yeah, I noticed this one had that.
Yeah. So it's quite an experiment for him as well, apparently.
Well, that's great, because the next part is called research.
Thank you. jedno i onda stvarno gotovo.
I'm sorry.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We got the 14th part of Making Pigs Jealous, but Project Daywalker, this is called Research. Then Nick Francis and Tollum doing just the number one. Yeah, titles are hard, I guess. Why Stalka with something live, Fists of Love. That's a great title. Justice Yeldon out of Sydney with Anymore. Mike Cooper, Secret Mexican Beach. Wow. I kind of predicted without knowing it. Finally, pyramids, the last part. You'll make a pig's jealous, Project Daywalker. Now, off air, people, Gabor enlightened me to the fact that actually the most important piece or part of the whole piece is talking about Lou.
Yeah, well, to me at least. Not sure about Barney, but this is a very personal song. First of all, because, I started to learn English from my masters and my teachers, were mostly Lou Reed and John Cale, and the early Velvet Underground I started to listen to. And I'm forever thankful for that, and also for the gift of music. But Lou was always very close to my heart as a person as well. And he eventually guided me to love as well. Because as I was working on this big ocean liner as an auctioneer, that's where I met my girlfriend. And the first time we talked for hours was about Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground next to a pile of garbage.
So, interesting touchstone.
Yeah. Well, it's represented in the song as well. And then,
see.
You know, I haven't seen her for 8 years and almost 8 months now again. And this song is sort of my love letter for her.
Ah, beautiful. Let's ask Barney, what's his most important part of the piece?
Barney, meg tudod mondani, melyik a legfontosabb száma az albumról számodra, és miért?
Számomra a piramis a legfontosabb, mert ott valahogy elkaptam azt a teljes érzést, amit szerettem volna kihozni az egészből, és az egy ilyen nagy utazás volt, ami nem is tudom, hogy fejezzem ki magam, ami így évbe ért, ami szerintem a csúcspontja az egésznek, bár még nem járunk annál számnál, de ezt tudom kiemelni.
És mi az, ami jelent neked az utazás?
Hát ez a belső lelki utazás, amikor így megutazod magad.
Ah, értem. So Barney says his most important song would be Pyramids, you know, the closing song.
The closing one. We'll get to that. Did he give you a reason why?
Yes, because he considers his life as a spiritual journey. And he says he captured the meaning of this whole journey in this song the best ever. Like he finds this as a flawless song to experience his journey if you listen to the song.
Oh, okay. And research?
Research was Barney's pick. For the album, I would rather have discarded it because we had a few fights over it. We normally have these fights in the car while he's driving me, because I don't drive. I'm lazy to learn driving, and he's driving me to the rehearsal room, and then we listen to music, like other music or our songs, what we plan to do today. And I was like, there's no way I'm gonna sing for this song, because I found that the drums sound like Despacito. Now that I told it, everybody will listen to it as Despacito. I don't want that. So I wrote the lyrics. Yeah, he just said, I fucking hated this song. That's really true. I told it. I was like, we are not making this album if you want this song on it. And he's like, you're not making the album if you don't want it. Yeah.
So we would call this the bone of contention.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, but you're open-minded to include it. And you know it takes a lot of colors to make a rainbow, right?
Yes, okay, indeed. Okay. No, I wrote the lyrics back at the Black Sea, in a lifeguard tower, watching the sea.
Yeah.
And thinking about my life. But I'd never thought that this is going to be fitting for this song. But eventually, you know.
It worked out. That's great. Now, look, you told me in an email, number 4 is coming.
It is on its way. We made this impromptu decision of recruiting some more members to the project. We are just having a bass player, a really good bass player, we worked with before, and he really found that this music would be a good addition to his musical color plate or whatever you call it, palette, I don't know, and also a new guitar player. So Barney will play drums and guitar if we perform these songs live.
Ah.
And we hope that we can do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so gigs. Yeah, yeah, everybody get vaccinated up. Gigs in the future. So I can, but for my show and for the listeners, can't wait to get it, the recorded version. Is the bass man going to be and the guitar man going to be involved with the recording, or are you just going to work them up for live gigs?
No, we really hope that they are getting involved. We have two pieces that we were working on, but they are not final whatsoever. So we just probably keep it this way and just introduce those pieces to them and see what they say.
Oh, man. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. And when you get it done, please bring, and you and Barty come back on the show, and let's do what we did with this one.
No question about it. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Good morning, Barta. Guys, you're beautiful. I love what you're doing. You're very inspiring. You make me want to write another opera almost. But I'm pretty near done with one. I didn't write the libretto. Charlie Plimel did. But 14 of the 15 parts are done. Me and Petra doing something called Planet Chernobyl. And the name of our project is Pelican Man. Because a pelican, you know, only has a voice as a baby. When they grow up, they got no song. So you have
Fantastic.
To, yeah, you got to do it with music, right? Beautiful having you cats on.
Can't wait to listen to that one.
It's coming. And I can't wait for your thing. People, it's been April 6, 2021 edition. What? Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.